This morning I bring you greetings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Son came again. The one who woke us up this morning and started us on our journey. It has been a very long, long journey.
But God, we know you're going to bless us.
Some started the year with us and today they are no more. Some cannot lift up these hands to praise God any longer. They are on the beds of affliction. So we are grateful. The pastor will say that the alarm clock did not wake me up this morning. God woke me up because he knew that I still have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. So I'm living, serving, and trust in God. Let me extend my thanks and appreciation to my pastor and our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Armstrong. God has gifted this church, this community, and this world with such a loving and a caring pastor. I don't pray for a devil portion of Reverend Armstrong's grace and strength. No. Pastor Armstrong is such a very strong and energetic pastor. It takes grace to help him connect things like the way he does. He's such a blessing to this branch of Zion. And I want to thank God for him and for the opportunity I've had to serve under his leadership. And to all of us, the Shiloh Baptist Church family, words cannot express how grateful I am. You have been such a loving church. You may have no understanding of what Shiloh Baptist Church means to many of us. It is a tent for the victims of the land, a home of refuge and strength. It's like the very present help in the times of trouble. This church is a blessing, not just in this community, but the world over. The name Shiloh Baptist Church is a name that resonates with people in Liberia, people in Ghana, people in Kenya, people in Haiti, people everywhere. And let me say this. The message won't be long. Won't be long. But don't be surprised when we all get to heaven. Don't be surprised. You may have no understanding of the life that you are imparting. But when we get to heaven, heaven won't be a place of isolation for some of us. Especially Shiloh Member Baptist, Shiloh Baptist Church. I pray that someone in heaven will walk up to you and say thank you. I'm glad that you are from Shiloh Baptist Church, Trenton, New Jersey. But because of your blessings, and because of your giving, because of your grace, I'm here in heaven today. Let heaven be a place of rejoicing because of what you have done to impact life and reach new communities. Let me also extend my appreciation to the Pan-African ministry here under the leadership of Reverend Duo. I can't thank you enough. As you may be aware, that I will be joining my wife very soon. It has been a long, long journey. We've been separated for about 5 years. 5 years. And it's been tough. It has been tough. After graduation, when I returned to Liberia, the church could only afford to pay me a little over $400. And every year I had to travel a month, with a master's degree from Princeton. But that's the condition that the church finds itself in. And with $400, I will save every penny that I have every year to make a trip to the United States so that my wife can join me from Canada and we have some time together. Over the past 5 years, the longest stay ever together has been 3 weeks. 3 weeks in 5 years. And I'm so glad that God has provided me the opportunity to finally join my wife. Finally join my wife in Canada on a permanent resident status. And when I told Pastor Armstrong that I was leaving, he said, Reverend Wilson, we want to celebrate the goodness of God upon your life. We will give you the opportunity to share your testimony. Not primarily a sermon, but a testimony that God is still able. And as I go, I will take you with me in my heart. I invited some members of Providence. They will be joining us Friday at the 11 o'clock service. But if we have members of Providence here, we just want you to wave wherever you are. Amen. I want to reach you, Reverend Mountain. Reverend Mountain showed up and he said, I heard, Reverend, of your sermon. Brother Harry, and I want you to be here. I came to be here to support you, Reverend. I'm so grateful. And thank you for the invite, Deacon. And to this community, and some family members will be coming later. But God has been so good. God has been so good. On behalf of my wife, my sons, I would like to say thank you. I hope I could find a better word than thank you. God is good. Thank you. I'm reminded that the steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. I will briefly share with all of us on the theme, waiting for the moving. Waiting for the moving. Kind of stand along with me as we read God's word. From the Gospel according to St. John, St. John chapter 5, verses beginning at the first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these laid a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever diseases he had. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the people of God say amen. 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 Please be seated. Kindly turn to your neighbor and say it after me. Waiting for the moving. Reverend Mountings, I'm so grateful to live in this age of technological discoveries and advancements. One of the greatest things that has happened to this age is the discovery of the smartphone. Or the social apps. You know what I'm talking about. Facebook, FaceTime, WhatsApp, Instagram, and the list goes on and on. This discovery, like the smartphone and social apps, have connected us to the rest of the world. Not only that, it has given us some level of authority to move things in our own direction. For instance, the online banking app has significantly reduced the long queue or wait time at some local or commercial banks around here. In time past, we stood in line to pay our bills and make deposits. But just right in our car, in our rooms, we can control our own banking system. Deposit, pay our bills, and we have just the authority on the cell phone. It appears that the world is moving in an upward motion. Someone said we live in a microwave society. Everything is just at the tip of the fingers. And no one has the patience and the time to wait any longer. With my cell phone, I can get whatever I want and wherever. I just need to put in the information and the result will pop up. I love these social apps, and I love the iPhone and the smartphone because I have one myself. It has afforded me the opportunity to keep in touch with my wife. That I can see her on FaceTime as though she's before me. And I have the opportunity to send a text message, and in a matter of seconds, she will respond. So I'm also moving with the frequency of the smartphone and the social app. But if care is not taken, Reverend Mountain, there is a tendency to associate spirituality with that of the smartphone and the cell phone. Because sometimes we enter the church with the mentality that we have the ability to move God to work on our behalf. And Lord, we cannot sit in our cars and give God the instructions and expect the desired results as we do with our cell phone and the social app. Let us be reminded that the God we serve is still the God of the old school. And God does not change because the world is changing. God is not moved by our cell phone. In fact, it is God who controls the cell phone when it comes to Christianity. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. My ways are not like your ways. As the heavens is far from the earth, so is my way from you. In Christianity and spirituality, sometimes we need to wait for the moving. We need to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. The word wait is not a word of the devil. It's not the vocabulary that the devil uses. It is associated with spirituality. In fact, waiting and patience is one of the characteristics of a Christian. It is the fruit of the Spirit. If you must be a Christian, you must wait for the moving of God in your life. God is too big that you can get around him. He's so tall that you can get above him. You can get beneath him. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some things will not come as we do with our cell phone. You need to allow for God to break you, mold you, and remake you so that you must be in the position to receive the gift that God has for you. You know, Robbie, I cannot wait. I just saw this young man and I want to marry him. Did you talk with your mom and your dad? They waited. And sometimes it took months before they had the first date. You need to wait and understand what you are entering into, my son. This is not the cell phone or the smartphone or social app. You need to get prepared for some things that God has in store for you. If you must be a Christian, then you need to embody the attributes of waiting. Because some good things come only when we wait. The children were complaining at the river. And Moses told them that you need to stand still in order to see the salvation of the Lord. Standing still means there comes a time that you need to let go and allow God to use you. I know you can't wait trying to hold on to something. It's the God, take my life and let it be. Break me, mold me, and remake me for your service. The aspect of impatience is also a problem that the church of today is faced with. Every seminary wants to pastor a mega church. Every seminary wants to become a bishop, even though you don't have a church here. You don't want to wait, learn, develop, and prepare yourself for that which God has for you in store. You can receive it. God knows exactly what is best for you. And you know it is good to wait because there are some doors that your strength cannot open. And in the process of waiting, God is opening those doors so that you can walk through them. As some roads are so crooked that you cannot move straight, God is trying to smooth the path so that you can be able to make your way out. So just stay still. God is still at work in the situation. I want to talk about a man today who has been waiting. Waiting for the moving. The Bibles or the scripture open up with this phrase, after these things. And what has happened in chapter 4 of St. John was Jesus' encounter with the mountain with the lady at the well. And the story is so fascinating that her life at the end of his interaction changed. And yet she have had sex filled relationship. But that's all right. But when she met the seventh man, and it's always good to wait for the seventh man, because the number seven represents divine completion, that God is about to fix it and turn it around. When she met the seventh man, her life was not the same. She ran into the community and told the people, come see a man who told me all that I have done. After these things, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He went up to Jerusalem. That is, he went to Jerusalem to worship and have an encounter with his Father. He went up to Jerusalem. And then by Jerusalem, there was the sheep gate. If you read Nehemiah, after building the walls and the temple, he gave a vivid description of the very gates. Jesus met a man who had been by the pool for 38 long years. 38. And the name of the pool in Hebrew was Bethesda, which means grace or mercy. So it means that this man has been at 38 years living with mercy, but his condition was still the same. Church, it doesn't matter how long we attend services, but sometimes our faith will be tested and tried, even though we are members of the Shiloh Baptist Church. He was by Bethesda, but yet his condition remained the same for 38 long years. But he was still determined. Reverend, he was waiting for the moving, because he believed that at a certain time, we don't know the time, it could be early in the morning, it could be at noon, it could be at midnight, the angel will appear and trouble the world. The one who enters first will be healed of whatever disease he or she was afflicted with. 38 long years, he sat and watched others move by with the testimony. 38 years, he observed his neighbors being transformed and leading him in the very position that he came. 38 years. Church, what is so fascinating is the fact that sometimes in life trials and tribulation, our name will take the condition in which we find ourselves in. This man was referred to as a certain man. It doesn't suggest to me that he never had a name, because every Hebrew child had a name, and the name reflected his or her character. The angel said that he will be called Jesus or Emmanuel, which means God is with us. But you see, after 38 years, his name was lost within the situation. They referred to him as just a certain man, a certain boy, a certain deacon, a certain reverend, a certain member, a certain Christian. Because you've been waiting for the move, and some will misinterpret your move and call you all kinds of names. But church, this man was not moved by the name. He was still waiting for the moving. It appears that he was righteous, because it was an act of religious worship. And to stay at the temple and wait for the moving year in and year out, it means coming to church every Sunday morning, 52 or 53 Sundays in the year, and still at the very edge of your breakthrough. Every year is the same year. God seemed to be a distant from you. But this man kept his faith and religious composure, that I will not leave the pool. I will wait for the moving. And the text tells me that the pool have five pillars. And a commentator once said that Reverend Mountain, each of the pillars represented one of the books of the law. And my interpretation is the fact that after 38 years, this man had kept the law, lived by the law, lived by every person, every instruction, but his condition still remains the same. And the church, it doesn't matter the beauty of the song we sing on Sunday morning. It doesn't matter our own relationship when it comes to our involvement into the church life activities. There will be times that we will have to wait. It's not that God has forgotten us, or something wrong that we have done, or murder, or some parental curse, or something. Sometimes it runs through our mind, God, why me? Whenever I come to the very edge or very point of my breakthrough, things will not change in the direction. It's not with you. And what you need to understand is God is working it out for your good. Your responsibility is just wait at the pool. That means continue to hang up with Jesus. Continue to talk with Jesus. Continue to walk with Jesus. If you haven't prayed before, continue to pray. If you haven't sung before, continue to sing. If you haven't preached before, continue to preach. God is God at work. Wait for the moving. You see, the law could not help him. But grace came in time. Church, don't be moved when your friends are being blessed. Some blessings will come in the morning. Some blessings will come at noon time. Some will come at midnight. We cannot place God in a box. It's not because God bless him on Sunday morning, so God has to bless me on Sunday morning. No, God is working it out for your good. And when you wait, it will be amazing what God will do for you. He waited and never had to go through the process of the stirring of the water. When Jesus appeared, the Bible said he knew that this man had been in the situation. It suggests to me that it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the position. God knows about your ups and he knows about your down. Your ups rising and your down setting. God knows about your peace and he knows about your anguish. God knows that you've been in the situation for 38 years. And when he looked at him, he knew that he'd been in the situation. My brothers and my sisters, mothers and father, we serve a God who knows. We serve a God who knows. When I called in my darkness, he knows. Under my blanket, he knows. And when Christ appeared, he said to this man, do you want to be healed? And sometimes, church, you know, the blessing will come in disguise. He had no understanding that he was standing before the very one who sent the angels to trouble the world. He had no idea that he was standing before the very one who was in the beginning. And with God, through him, everything was made. He never knew that he was standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you know, sometimes, church, we get confused when God gets ready to bless us. The blessing will come in disguise. But wait for the moving. He said, your blessing is now. I want you to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You know, when God visits you, he turns your struggles into testimony. When God blesses you, don't be ashamed of your story. Pick it up and take it with you so that the world can know that you serve a rising Savior. Get up. Take up your mat. Don't leave it behind. Because they need to see the mat in order to give God the praise. And he picked up his mat and went his way. This is my word to all of us today. Wait for the moving. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. The psalmist told me, for his anger is for the movement. In God's favor, there is light. For weeping may endure in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Isaiah reminded me, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the end of the earth, not a thing None is wavering. His understanding is unsearchable. He gave power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait for the moving. I don't know on whom you are waiting, but I want you to wait on Joel's Redeemer. Wait on Hanan Ganakadages. Wait on Nehemiah's faith in the midst of darkness. Wait on God, for eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, none has entered the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. Church, I have been waiting for the moving. Like the songwriter, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know my right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. His trials, only come to make me strong. Now I can thank God for the mountain. I can thank him for the valley. I can thank him for the storms. The storms that he has brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know what faith in God would do. Do it all. Do it all. I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Wait. Wait for the moving. God is still alive. He may not come, but you want him to come. But just stand still, and you will see God's salvation. Amen.